In many power outages, some utilities continue to function. For instance, some people without power have had no problem getting water or telephone service. Others have not been so lucky. We called on Tim Squernina, who teaches electrical engineering at Purdue University, to explain why.
Cleveland and Detroit, Chicago, they're all located on the Great Lakes, and so they draw their water from the lake, Chicago from Lake Michigan, and Detroit and Cleveland from Lake Erie. And so that means they've got large pumps to pump the water out of the lake into the water system, and those pumps require electricity. They're very large motors typically, and so that takes a lot of electricity, and it probably would be cost prohibitive to have a complete generator backup for all that. So the result is the power goes out, you can't pump water, and so then you're left with nothing to provide any pressure in the system to get the water into people's taps.
And how is that different from other cities that might rely, say, on a reservoir?
Well, New York City has reservoirs up in the Catskill Mountains and up in Westchester County, I believe, and those are at a higher elevation. And so gravity feeds 95% of New York's water into the city, and about 5% relies on pumps, and that typically maintains the pressure. So they had water, but not necessarily full pressure. I read that some of the hotels, for example, didn't have water up on the higher floors because there wasn't enough pressure to get the water up there.
Let's talk also about the phone systems, which were quite problematic throughout this outage. First, with wireless phones, why were people not able, in many cases, to get through on their cell phones?
Okay, cell phones send a signal to a tower. The tower has a lot of electronic equipment which receives those signals and then transmits them through the telephone system. That requires electricity to run the equipment at the cell phone tower. When you drive down the highway, you'll see cell towers, and you'll always see a generator sitting right next to it to run that, because they're out in the middle of nowhere, essentially, and require electricity all the time. In the city of New York, for example, you probably have a lot of cell phone tower locations. They're probably mounted on the tops of various buildings, but they don't expect them all to be out of power at the same time, and so they might not all be backed up with generators. Probably everybody picked up their cell phone also and wanted to call home, and so then you wind up with a large rush of people trying to make calls, and so you wind up essentially getting a busy signal or no signal at all.
And in terms of regular phones, what we would think of as regular phones, old-style phones in the house, first there are phones that actually plug into the jack, and then there would be cordless phones. What were the problems there?
Okay, well, your old-fashioned phone, as you would, with a cord on it, would plug in just to the phone outlet. And that phone outlet actually carries the voltages that are required to operate the telephone. The exchange building where your wires lead to, that will have a battery system to provide the voltages to the phone. During a power outage, they probably would have a generator there to keep the batteries charged. Of course, once you go to a cordless phone, it has to be plugged into the wall to operate the electronics that are going to send the signal to your cordless phone when you're sitting in the living room watching TV.
So this was a case where it's actually the older, sort of archaic technology, the payphone and the trusty old corded phone that you can rely on.
Yes. There's certainly modern technology has its ups and downs, both. It's very convenient to have a cordless phone, but it probably is a good idea to keep a corded phone in the house.
Well, Professor Squernina, thanks for joining us.
Okay, you're very welcome.
Tim Squernina teaches electrical engineering technology at Purdue University.